First of all, thank you for coming to this session, to this presentation about which link topology is right for me. My name is Justo Oreja. I'm a member of the Enterprise Communications Center of Excellence. We managed to get the longest name in Microsoft, and we are part of Microsoft Services, okay? I'm an architect in the team, and we are a team of 25, around 25 architects around the world. And we sit in all the countries that you can imagine around the world. I'm based in Madrid, in Spain. And the reason why I'm here, in our team, we do pre-sales, post-sales, and we do also activities like this conference and training. And the reason why I'm here and they asked me to put this presentation together is because I work quite a lot with service providers, hosters, Link Online. So basically, that's why I'm here. Okay. Before I start with the agenda, just I realized a few days ago that the title of the presentation can be a little bit misleading. I'm not going to be talking about link topologies or link architectures within Link. So I'm not going to be talking about how many front-end servers you need in a pool, how many pools do you need, do you need SBAs or not. That would be a conversation about the specifics of a link architecture, right? I'm going to talk, the presentation is a little bit higher view of the topologies. So it's about what topology is right for me. Should I go online? Should I go to a service provider? Should I do on-prem? Should I go to a hoster? And what are the implications regarding connectivity, directory synchronization, authentication, and what are the challenges for the service providers today? So just to set a little bit of context there, I still think the presentation is valuable for everyone, for customers and service providers, because you might be thinking about the possibility, not now, but in the future, of moving your link infrastructure or your link instance to the cloud. So. Okay, so the agenda, I'm going to do a quick introduction. I'm going to go through all the link topologies, the way that we see it, starting at the very, very high level, the differentiation between multi-tenant and single-tenant, and then break that down in smaller pieces. What are the service provider topologies? What are the challenges for the service providers? How do you choose a service provider? And also, what do you need to take into consideration when you are choosing your topology? What are your technical requirements and your business requirements that will help you to choose the topology? And also, I will touch a little bit in not supported or not recommended topologies. Okay? Since we are a small audience, if you have any questions, please stop me. I'll be happy to answer the question during the presentation. Okay? So. Stop me anytime. So, quick introduction. The reason why we are doing this presentation is because we realize that there are multiple topologies available, okay? And it might be a little bit confusing for customers or hosters, service providers about all these different options or all these different versions of the product. How do we use it? So the objective is to bring some clarification here. And also to help you, if you are in the process of choosing the topology that you need, we want to help you to choose the right topology. So if you are thinking about going online or cloud with a service provider, or if you are thinking about doing on-prem, you need to understand if that is the right decision, that's the objective also of the session. And also, one of the messages of the conference is that we realize that service providers will play an important role in Link. We see more and more service providers coming into the Link business, and we realize that they're bringing they will get a lot of business with Link. And one of the messages also is that Microsoft will support more and more the service providers, and will fill up some of the IP gaps that I'm going to be talking during the presentation. Some of the challenges that the service providers have today, how are we going to try to help them to bypass those challenges? So let's start with the link topologies, okay? So I put this slide together because I find more and more often how people get confused with something so simple as multi-tenant and single tenant. And I'm gonna try to explain what are the differences and what the different topologies, where do the different topologies live with within the multi-tenant and single tenant topologies. So what is multi-tenant? Multi-tenant or public cloud is when we provide the link service to multiple customers or multiple tenants from the same link server infrastructure, organization or infrastructure. Think about the link pool, right? And from that same link pool, I'm providing the service to multiple tenants or multiple customers. There is a segmentation there, but from the same infrastructure, I provide the service to multiple customers. And it's public cloud because normally the connection of the customer to the public, to the multi-tenant infrastructure is through the internet. And that's why we call it public cloud. Within the multi-tenant topology, we find providers that provide single sign-on capabilities and providers that they don't. Okay? But I would say that in the multi-tenant space, single sign-on is not a requirement. And then we have what we call single tenant or private cloud. Single tenant means that we are providing link from to a customer with a dedicated link tenant or link instance. So it's a dedicated link server per customer with a dedicated Active Directory forest. And that's per customer. And we call it private cloud because the connection between the customer or the client to the server is going to be through a private connection. That could be the LAN or the WAN of the customer, but it could be also a service provider providing a private connection between the customer and the service provider cloud. That's why we call it private cloud too. And within this space, single sign-on is a requirement. Another way to see it is that multi-tenant can be, the market for multi-tenant is the small and medium business, although I'll talk a little bit about Office 365, how we also target large customers. But the single tenant topology is targeting the enterprise. So it's targeting large customers, I would say from 500 seats or 250 seats minimum and above. Okay? And in single tenant, single sign-on is a requirement. An enterprise is always going to request or require single sign-on capabilities from the service provider or from the on-premise, we'll say it now. So within the multi-tenant platform, we have Office 365 or Office 365S, Link Online. Link Online or Office 365S is the Microsoft multi-tenant solution in the multi-tenant space. So Microsoft is playing in the multi-tenant space, and our solution is Office 365S or Link Online. From a single link server infrastructure, we provide the service to multiple customers. And we provide that service through the internet, okay? In the multi-tenant space, we also have Link Hosting Pack. I find also people that get confused with Link Hosting Pack, they think it's a configuration of link server, or is an add-on. No, Link Hosting Pack is a product on its own that is different from Link Server. And it's the product that small hosters use to play in the multi-tenant space. So our Link Hosting Pack product is multi-tenant aware, and the hoster is building a data center infrastructure with Link Server, or in this case, Link Hosting Pack, and serving multiple tenants or multiple customers from that same infrastructure. Again, usually these hosters are targeting the small and medium business, businesses up to around 250 seats, but it's not targeting the enterprise, okay? Then we have in the single tenant space what we call the single tenant private cloud, okay? These are service providers that they build in their data center, multiple AD forest, each of them with its own Link server to serve multiple customers. And it's a dedicated Link infrastructure and a dedicated Active Directory infrastructure per customer. And this is what we call single tenant private cloud. So in this space, we have service providers. There are many telcos, SIs, getting into this business and building single tenant private cloud solutions to compete in the enterprise market, right? They are targeting companies usually from 500 seats to 10,000 seats, but there is no upper limit. The service provider decide what market they want to play. But we see a lot of traction and a lot of movement from these telcos and service providers entering this business. And in this space, Microsoft play also in this space with Office 365 dedicated. Okay? Office 365 dedicated is different to Office 365 standard or Link Online. Office 365 dedicated is our single tenant private cloud version our single tenant private cloud offering to the market, to the enterprise market. Okay? One characteristic, and I'll talk a little bit about Office 365D too, is that we are only targeting customers over 30,000 seats. That's our target market. We decided that we are targeting just customers over 30,000 seats. But it's not a different topology. Office 365D is part of the single tenant private cloud topology. And then we have on-premise. I consider on-premise, the traditional Link on-premise deployment, part of single tenant private cloud. It's a dedicated instance of Link for a customer. The thing is that that customer is deploying that instance in their own data center, in their own Active Directory, but it's single tenant. It's private, it's a private cloud because it's connecting through a private network, that is the customer LAN or MPLS network, one network, to the Link server. So it's part, I consider that a part of the single tenant private cloud. But it's the traditional Link deployment. Okay, so I'm presenting here in the rest of the presentation four topologies that are Link Online Standard, Link Hosting Pack, Single Tenant Private Cloud, and on-premise. These are the four topologies that we see. Then Office 365 Dedicated, again, is part of Single Tenant Private Cloud. And there is another one that I'm going to be talking about too, that I don't consider a topology. I consider it just a configuration, that is Link Hybrid. When we talk about Link Hybrid or a split domain, it's not an additional topology. It's a customer that has two topologies deployed at the same time. There is Link on-premise and Link Online. And thus, the customer builds an additional configuration to enable that hybrid configuration and split domain. But I don't think it's an additional topology, okay? It's just that that customer has Link on-premise and Link Online at the same time. Any questions so far? So let's start with the easy part, okay? This Link on-premise, what we all know and we are used to, the traditional Link deployment where the customer deploys Link in their data center. One characteristic of Link on-premise, I'm not gonna be talking in too much detail in each of the topologies because I don't have time during the hour. There are multiple presentations during the conference where you can go deeper in each of those topologies. I'll give you some references at the end. But one characteristic of Link on-premise is that the customer has full control of that Link instance. They have full control of the services that Link can provide. The customer decides what can they do with it. And they have full administration. Okay? It's a CapEx model, so they need to invest in the infrastructure, they own the infrastructure, etc. And within Link on-premise, there are multiple AD topologies and multiple topologies with exchange that we support that are described here. So with AD, the traditional AD deployment is that just a single forest, AD forest where we deploy Link. This is the traditional way of doing it, and we all know. And then it's the resource forest scenario. So I have, I'll talk a little bit later on. But it's important, this scenario, to understand later on what I'm going to be talking about the service providers. But basically, there is a resource forest and a user forest, and I'm providing the service from the resource forest. Okay. And then we have what we call, when we see different workloads in different places. For example, Link is on-premise, and Exchange is online. So if you have a Link on-premise and Exchange on-premise, it's, again, the traditional deployment, everything is fully supported. But there is a topology that is having a Link on-premise and Exchange online. Some people call that hybrid, but it's not hybrid within the same workload. It's cross-workload hybrid. So we have a workload that is Exchange that is online, and another one that is on-premise that is Link. That's fully supported. We support that topology today. You have Exchange UM, it's fully supported, no problem, okay? So this is just a representation of the traditional Link deployment, on-premise, everything is in the customer data center, all the servers are there, we are, there isn't anything very exciting here, okay? This is the traditional Link deployment. But things can get a little bit more complex. Okay, with the resource forest scenario. It might be the case that the customer, we see this scenario in the bigger customers where the customer is an umbrella of companies and they have multiple AD forests, one per company. And they decide to build a resource forest to serve from there those multiple companies, okay? This is fully supported, no problem. We support it since the OCS times for Exchange, for Link, no problem. Okay, for that, we need a directory synchronization tool. In this case, is I put there FIM to synchronize the directory. And we need a way to authenticate. In the resource forest scenario is through a forest trust. Or you can have, what I said before, multiple user forests that are getting the service from a central resource forest, same thing. I can have many user forests and a resource forest fully supported, no problem, okay? This is just setting up some of the context for later on for the service providers part of the presentation. And this is just a graphical view of this cross-workload hybrid where Exchange is online, Link is on-premise. Think about it as the same, very similar thing as the resource forest. In this case, the resource forest is Link online, and I need also tools to do directory synchronization and authentication. For that, I have DirSync and ADFS. Again, fully supported, no problem. Okay. Let's move to the next one, that is Link Online. Link Online is the Microsoft public cloud offer for Link. So in the multi-tenant space, remember what I said earlier, Microsoft is playing in that space with Office 365S, with Link Online. One of the characteristics of Link Online is that we are targeting any customer, but we don't provide, today we don't provide enterprise voice capabilities. So it's we target very specific customers, but we target the small and medium business and the enterprise business with this solution. And we also have complex, we can run into complex topologies. Regarding the cross workload topologies, you can have Link Online and Exchange Online. That's fully supported, but there are limited functionalities. You need to read our service description and understand what do we get from Link Online. It's not the same level of capabilities compared to Link On-Premise, okay? But the next one is interesting. If I have Link Online and Exchange On-Premise, then is when things start to break a little bit. For example, Exchange UM will not work, or Exchange archiving to Exchange will not work. So what I'm trying to explain is how, depending on the workloads are, it's important to take it into consideration, because it might be the functionalities are not the same. So we see the Exchange workload moving to the cloud before the Link workload. So that's why Link On-Premise and Exchange Online is okay, but the other way around is not so much okay. And the next one is interesting, voice in the cloud. We heard in the keynote that we are going to have some voice in our cloud. But going a little bit deeper without going too deep, because I don't think we can go too deep today, there are going to be two flavors there. Okay, one is going to be called business voice. Okay, in that case, the PSTN breakout point is in our cloud, is in our data center. In the Microsoft data center, we will provide PSTN connectivity. And we are going to be targeting a small and medium business only. The functionality that we are going to provide in the first wave of voice in the cloud is going to be limited, so we will only be able to target the small and medium business. So that's PSTN breakout points in our cloud, business voice, okay? And then we have our syndication partners. We have, I believe it's Telenor, AT&T, KPN and Vodafone, that they build those PSTN breakout points in their data centers. And they are able to connect that to our Office 365 cloud. But if you consume the service through that, you need to buy Office 365 through them, through those syndication partners. Think about our Office 365 cloud being segmented and having part of the cloud is our public cloud, where we will provide business voice, and another part of the cloud is for the syndication partners. The syndication partners are available today. The offerings from the syndication partners are available today. Business voice is coming, I think it's Q1 calendar year 15. That's what we are saying. So it's coming in less than a year, we will have voice capabilities. But again, we are not targeting the enterprise. That will take much longer to come. One characteristic of Link Online, again, when you are choosing your topology, is that a unique tenant in Link Online cannot extend multiple data centers. So if you are a global customer and you get Link Online today, all your users globally will access the service from the same data center, from the same Microsoft data center. That is America, Europe, or Asia. But that tenant cannot be expanded between multiple data centers. So take that into consideration while choosing your topology. We don't provide QoS or CAC, so we cannot assure 100% the quality of the voice. Quality of service is partial, because you could do quality of service in your network, but we don't mark the traffic in our cloud. And there are also complex topologies with AD. So if you have a single user forest on premise, you can have multiple tenants online and federate between them. But if you have multiple forests on premise, you will require today multiple forests online. Okay, what we cannot do is synchronize multiple forests on premise with a single tenant online. So again, think about complex AD topologies. If you are coming from a complex AD topology on premise with multiple forests, you need to be very careful on how you build your strategy with communications. So this is again a representation when Link is online, same thing as before. The same tools that we required for Exchange, ADFS and DirSync, are the same tools that we require for Link. We don't need anything additional. And recently I found out that that we have a service in our Windows Azure cloud to host the directory synchronization tool in Azure. So you don't need to build DirSync on premise. There is a possibility to buy a service from Windows Azure to do the directory synchronization. Okay? This is a service that is available today. I put that in because I thought that was quite interesting that I didn't know until recently that was available. Okay, so we've done Link on premise, we've done Link online. Let's talk a little bit about Link hybrid, okay? Link hybrid is not a topology. It's just a configuration. It's customers that have the two topologies at the same time, Link on premise and Link online, have the possibility of setting up hybrid or a split domain. A split domain means that I can have the same SIP domain, contoso.com, for my online users and my on-premise users. But it's just a configuration. I have the on-premise infrastructure, I have the online infrastructure. I don't need to set up any additional server to build the hybrid configuration. This is also important that sometimes we are not very clear about this, but hybrid only works with Office 365S, with Link Online, with the multi-tenant version. It doesn't work with Office 365D. It doesn't work with a service provider cloud. It doesn't work with Link Hosting Pack. It doesn't work with between service provider clouds. Only works between Link Server on-premise and Office 365 multi-tenant. And this is because we only in Office 365 multi-tenant is where we have enabled the capability of doing a split domain. So you can see a hybrid as a permanent state for you or a temporal state. Permanent state means I'm going to build a hybrid environment and I'm going to keep it forever, right? Because that's what I want. In this case, the Link server infrastructure that you need to build on-premise, the minimum infrastructure that you need to build on-premise, will serve quite a lot of users. So hybrid only applies for enterprise customers, for large customers. I would say over 10,000 seats, because below that, the Link server infrastructure that you need to build on-premise will be enough or sufficient to serve all the users. So why build something more complex that is hybrid and having Link online and on-premise. But there are other reasons, like part of the population requires more basic features. So I can set up hybrid to serve my more advanced users from the on-premise infrastructure and more basic users from online. Or another option could be, another possibility is that I want to enable third-party applications to my online users. So I need on-premise infrastructure to trust those third-party applications that will be able to serve the on-premise users and the online users. For example, video interoperability is an example. I set up the video interoperability with my video endpoints in the on-premise infrastructure, and the online users are able to use that. But it can be also as a temporal state. It could be just a migration path. I'm on-premise, and I want to move to the cloud. I set up hybrid to migrate. Once I set up hybrid, I can move users from on-prem to online. This is another one that is quite, I think it's quite interesting, that to set up hybrid, you need to start on-premise. You cannot start online and build a hybrid environment. That there is no, in a way, what I'm saying is that there is no migration path from online to on-prem. Because the way that it works, we need the on-premise infrastructure to know about the online infrastructure. Some of the attributes on-premise need to know, you need to populate the users that are going to be online on-premise first and then move them. So there is no migration path from online to on-prem, okay? That's important to understand. We have some complaints from some customers today that they require to delete the tenant online and start on-premise to set up hybrid. And we had hybrid voice before. Just a reminder, this was discontinued. We stopped doing that. We don't do any split workloads. Some customers also ask for if they can use the online infrastructure for conferencing and having the users on-premise. That would be a cross-workload scenario that we don't support. That means that if the user is on-premise, it will use the on-premise servers. If the user is online, it will use the online servers. And this is, again, another representation of hybrid. You don't need anything additional, right? In this case, is the on-premise infrastructure is there, the online tenant is there. I just need dir sync and IDFS for directory synchronization and authentication. But I don't need any additional servers or anything else to build hybrid. It's just configuration. Okay, let's move on. Hosted partner multi-tenant. This is another of the topologies and that we can set up with Link Hosting Pack, okay? This is a small and medium hosters, small hosters that they target the small and medium business, usually up to 250 users. And they can provide enterprise voice capabilities to those tenants. Those enterprise voice capabilities are reduced functionalities, but we think that is enough to target that market. And they can differentiate themselves from Office 365, building additional stuff into the Link Hosting Pack infrastructure. And there is no split domain capabilities, okay? So just as an overview, Link Hosting Pack does not provide remote site servability, SBAs, SBSs. Dial-in conferencing needs to work through a third-party audio conference provider. There is no call admission control. There is no response groups. This is just for you to understand how that product is limited, and that's why we only target the small and medium business with this product. Okay? And again, this is a different server. This is a different software install than Link Server. If you are doing Link Hosting Pack, you need a different software to build that. But sometimes people think that this is just a configuration in Link or an add-on or something like that. It's not. It's a different product. Okay, and then what about the service providers, okay? Single tenant private cloud. So what we are seeing is, system integrators, telcos, but not only that, also government agencies. We see government agencies where there is an entity in the government agency that wants to become the service provider for Link, Exchange, SharePoint, CRM for the rest of the government. So we see a trend also. I've been working with a few governments where they want to do that. They want to become a service provider inside the government. But mainly is service system integrators, the big telcos that are entering this business. So for them, they have some challenges today. They have challenges regarding AD topologies. And let me explain that. So the service provider, what is interesting for them is to build a resource forest scenario, to build a resource forest in their data center to serve the customer, okay? Because they don't want to take, the service provider doesn't want to take the customer Active Directory to their data center, and the customer doesn't want to let the service provider to take their Active Directory to their data center. So in a way, we are forcing them towards the resource forest scenario. The problem with that is that we don't support today any three forest scenario. So when you are in the resource forest scenario for Link and the customer wants to have Exchange online, we are in a three forest scenario. We are in the case where the user authentication is happening in the customer ID, Link is in the service provider, and Exchange is in the cloud. And think about that, think about three forests, and today we don't support that scenario. It's a limitation that we have today, and that's it, okay? The news is that we are gonna be working from Microsoft to support and enable that scenario. We're gonna try to make the life easier for the service provider. And there is no split domain. So with the resource forest scenario, if you don't have a split domain, there is no migration path. So the customer, if the customer has OCS or Link on-premise and is willing to get the service from a service provider and the service provider wants to do resource forest, there is no migration path because we don't support the split domain. So this is another gap that we are trying to fill soon. It's in our roadmap to enable a split domain between Link server on-premise and Link server in the service provider, that at the end is also Link server. We are going to enable a split domain between Link server to Link server, okay? So to enable these scenarios. And the other challenge for the service providers is the lack of guidance from Microsoft. We recognize that we haven't been very good helping service providers, guiding them on how to build their servers, their single tenant private cloud infrastructure. Okay? But the message is that if you're a customer and you want to have full enterprise voice capabilities, and you want to go cloud, there is an option that is to go to a service provider. You have the option to build on-premise, but today there is another option is coming available that is go to a service provider. And I know a few cases, it's happening that big customers are moving to service provider clouds. So this is again another view of that three forest scenario, where you see in the left hand side is the service provider cloud. They are providing the Link service from a resource forest. In the right hand side is the user forest. And here in the left corner down is Office 365. This is the scenario that we don't support today. We have problems with this scenario. So this presentation is also to inform you, no, about this scenario that is not supported, but we are working on enabling it. What is the problem with this scenario is Exchange UM will not work, because the resource forest from the service provider and Office 365 don't know anything about each other. There is no authentication between the two environments, between the resource forest and Office 365. And therefore, all the Exchange integration between Link and Exchange and UM will not work. you would require two directory synchronization tools, somehow to do the forest trust. It's very, very complex, but we are working into enabling it. Okay. So if you are looking at service provider cloud, what things you should be looking at are like things like, if you are a global customer, you should be consuming your service from a service provider that can provide a global service that has presence globally. So your users in America can consume the service from America, the same in Europe and APAC. Okay? So the service providers should have data centers in all the areas, in all the geographical areas, and it should be able to present the same link tenant on the same link instance from the three data centers. Okay? That's a way of thinking when I'm looking at the service provider and I'm a global customer, can they provide that or not? What is the SLA and SLT? What is the service level? Okay. Read the service description. The service providers will have a service description document where they describe their service, the functionalities that they provide, the services that they support, what is the support? How does the support look like? Is there a global coverage or is it just local? These are just ideas on how to. And something else that we see happening more and more over Link is development of third-party applications on top of Link. So enabling applications in UC. Okay? So questions like, is my service provider going to allow me to build a third-party application on top of that Link instance that is hosted in the service provider? I think that's also important. So topologies that we support today. So in a way, what I'm saying to you is that we are forcing today the service providers to extend the customer Active Directory to their data center to support Link from the service provider cloud. If they do that, they are building Link on top of the customer AD forest. So we are in a two forest scenario. We don't have any problems. As far as we have two forest only, all the combinations are supported. So I can have Exchange Online, I can have Exchange in Office 365 dedicated, I can have Exchange in a third-party hoster, no problem, okay? The problems start when I build the resource forest scenario. But if in that same resource forest scenario I have also Exchange, then it's not a problem, okay? So, question?
So you say that you can only have two forests in this service provider private cloud configuration. So you cannot add Exchange Online instead, because that's the third forest.
No, in this case, when I'm referring to two forests, is the case where the service provider takes an domain controller from the customer and put it in their data center, in the service provider data center. They're extending the Active Directory. Okay. And building Link in that service, in that same AD forest. In that case, we allow a migration path because we are in the same Link org, and we don't have problems with the three forest scenario because it doesn't matter where Exchange is. I'm always in a two forest scenario. I have another slide presenting the topologies for three forests. I think you can see it there. But think about that. I mean, the objective of these tables is just to have a reference for you that you can check later on. But the whole idea is to present when you have two or three forests, what are the limitations? with two forests, regarding AD authentication and directory synchronization, I'm okay always with two forests. With three forests, I'm not. But you need to also to think about the migration. Resource forest will not allow a migration path, but when I extend the customer active directory to the service provider cloud, then there is a migration path because it's the same org. Okay? So the topology four is a resource forest scenario, but if you build a change in the same resource forest, I'm okay because it's two forests. Okay? While these three topologies that are all a resource forest scenario for link, but exchange is somewhere else. Then is when I have three forests. I have the user forest, the resource forest for link in the service provider, and a third forest for exchange. That could be in Office 365, Office 365D, or a third service provider providing exchange. Those are the three forest scenarios that we don't support today. And I'm talking about this because we see, especially customers that are in the resource forest scenario, or customers that are going to the service providers, they don't realize this, the limitations that we have today, and we see customers taking that path and ending up in a situation where they need to turn back, and that's very painful. Okay?
Is that, by the way, a limitation from within, or is that just a limitation of the link private cloud deployment?
So the question is if it's a limitation of link or a limitation of the private cloud deployment. Think about the private cloud deployment as building a resource forest. There isn't anything else there. They're using Link Server to build that service provider cloud. Okay? The limitation comes because the exchange forest and the link forest don't know anything about each other. There is no trust between them. There is no authentication. And then when one application, Link, tries to speak to exchange or the other way around, it doesn't work because there is no authentication between the forest. That's the problem today. So I believe it's not a directory synchronization problem because you can do that with two dir syncs or two FIMs or whatever. It's more an authentication problem. Exchange will work and link will work for the end user. The problem is that integration between link and exchange will not work. So this is just a representation just of how a service provider cloud look like where you see multiple instances of link. And then you see the service providers try to reuse as much infrastructure as they can, like billing tools or monitoring tools or session border controllers. If they can reuse that for multiple customers, they will. But this is the idea of the single tenant private cloud. Again, is you see there different instances of link for the different customers and how they provide the communication through a private MPLS network from the customer environment to the cloud. And then we have Office 365D. Okay, Office 365D is Office 365 dedicated. This is the Microsoft single-tenant private cloud offering. So Microsoft is also in the single-tenant private cloud business. And our solution for that is Office 365D. It's very specific, probably you haven't heard a lot about it. There is a session in the conference specific for Office 365 dedicated. I don't think we publish a lot information about this. It's coming from the BPOSD. It's the evolution of BPOSD. And I think we don't publish this a lot because we are targeting a very specific segment that is customers over 30,000 seats. Okay? But it's our single tenant private cloud offering. So again, the objective of the presentation is to present all the options that are available so you have a clear idea of what it means, each of those options. In our Office 365 dedicated, we can expand that single tenant between multiple data centers. So we can provide the same tenant in Asia, Europe, and America. Okay? But we have, when we build our Office 365 dedicated offering, we build it with some limitations. We decided to disable some functionalities in the product. This is what the service provider needs to decide. And in our cloud, we decided to not support SBAs or SBSs, not support CAC. We don't support interconnection between Link Online dedicated and the local PBX directly. We support that through a local SBC, but not direct. And we don't support a split domain. So there is no migration path from on-prem to Office 365D. If you contract Office 365D, you have to start fresh from there. But again, I'm not trying to you to remember all the characteristics of each of the topologies, okay? I'm just trying to explain that in the single tenant private cloud offering, there are different flavors. Each of the players in that market will have different flavors of Link with different services or different support models or different options for directory or authentication. And this is what you need to understand as, if you are a customer, you need to understand what the service provider can offer to you. So you know what you are buying. If you are a service provider, you need to understand how to build your service. And we have exactly the same problems that the service providers have regarding the 3-4-S scenario. We have this exactly the same problem. Office 365 dedicated, we do a resource forest. So we don't support to have Link in Office 365 dedicated and Exchange in Office 365 standard. Is both Microsoft, is board of products, but the technology that is behind doesn't allow the 3-4-S scenario to work. So we have the same challenges. But of course, we support it if Exchange is on-premise or Exchange is in the same office. From Office 365 dedicated, we also provide SharePoint and Exchange. So it's the same as before. If 2-4-S scenario, we are fine. 3-4-S scenario, we are not okay. And just very again, from your service provider, you need to understand things like how the PSTN connectivity is gonna work. What are my enterprise voice requirements? What are my PSTN connectivity requirements? This is just how Office 365 dedicated works, but in this case, we can provide PSTN connectivity from our data center directly, or and we support session border controllers on premise. But a user will use either the connection in our cloud or the SBC, but not both at the same time. And this is a graphical view of that, how from our Office 365 cloud, again, Office 365 dedicated. The server infrastructure for Office 365 dedicated is completely different to Link Online. Okay? Different solutions, different products, different, I don't think there are different data centers, but it's completely isolated. So we can provide the PSTN connectivity through the cloud directly or to the customer local session border controller that will connect them to the local PBX if you want. So choose the right topology. What do you need to take into consideration when you are thinking about the topology as a customer or as a service provider or as a hoster? Look at the size of the tenant. Differentiate between a small and medium business and enterprise business because we target those with different solutions. Choosing the wrong topology may have a big impact. If I'm choosing the wrong topology and I'm going in one direction and then I realize that that's the wrong direction, changing that might be painful economically and it will take time to change that direction. There is no migration path from online to on-prem, okay? We talked about that before. So if you are online or you are thinking about going online or you are new in Link, take that into consideration because you might want to do hybrid in the future or you might want to have some users on premise. So I think that's important. And understand your service provider offerings. Understand the technical requirements and the business requirements. So technical requirements, how much of enterprise voice, of the enterprise voice functionalities do I require? Do I require every single functionality, or basic functionalities are enough for me? Understand how the PSTN connectivity is going to be done, or if you require remote site survivability. Not all service providers will support SBAs or SBSs. Or persistent chat, for example. Do I need persistent chat? That will also is another point to take into consideration to choose the topology. Do I require third-party applications? I'm going to have a call center on top of Link. I'm going to have video interoperability. I'm going to have business line applications enabled in unified communications. And also the business requirements. What is the company strategy, the product roadmap, etc. So to make it a little bit easier, I made this table where you can see the different topologies and what are the main. Here you can see how, when you look at Link on-premise, everything is green, right? Everything is green, but of course the CapEx model or the cloud, Link on-premise is not cloud, right? But all the rest is green. What it means is that I have, if I'm doing Link on-premise, I have all the capabilities and I have the full control of the instance. But if I'm doing Link online, that's not the case. There is no enterprise voice, there is no admin control. We will have some enterprise voice capabilities, but will be basic. So the next one is the service provider cloud. Okay, from the service provider cloud, you will get more functionality, more rich set of features than if you are in a multi-tenant environment. Okay. Okay, and last but not least, what is not supported? So we get customers that ask, can we build Link in Windows Azure? This is a request that comes quite often. Today is not supported. I don't know if it's going to be supported in the future, but it's something that customers request. Or they request things like, I think they're quite clever, like, can I have my disaster recovery site in Windows Azure? Can I build my primary site on-premise and have a disaster recovery site that is in standby in Windows Azure? It's a clever idea. It sounds very good, but unfortunately, it's not supported. Something else that they ask is, can I build a multi-tenant infrastructure or a multi-tenant solution with Link Server? Can I provide the service to multiple tenants from Link Server? No, we have what we call address book segregation, but it's not supported. Okay? Then we don't support the split domain. We've seen that with anything else than Link Online. Or we don't support having multiple on-premise AD forest with a single Link Online tenant. Okay? We have also problems there with the authentication. And again, that the Office 365 Link Online cannot expand to multiple data centers. It's just an overview of what is not supported today. Okay, as a summary, I just put these three lines because someone told me that after a presentation, if you get people to remember three things, then the presentation is successful. So I hope you learned something during this presentation. One point is that, again, if you are a customer, you want to go cloud, and you require full enterprise voice capabilities, look at what is available in the market. Look at service providers. There are multiple service providers. That business is growing. The big players, I don't want to name any, put any name because I don't want to get anyone offended if I miss a name, but there are big players getting into this market. So the capability is there. We are working from Microsoft towards enabling more scenarios for the service providers. We are working towards enabling the split domain scenario, the 3-4S scenario, and support more and more the service providers. And also look for complex AD topologies on-premise. If you are starting with a complex AD topology, my message here is have a look and think very carefully about your strategy. It might be a good idea to consolidate that AD topology first before you do anything else, because it might save you loads of money and pain in the future. If you start, you are starting with a complex AD topology on premise, things are more complex today. Okay. And just a reference to other sessions. So if you want to go deeper in each of the topologies that I talk about today, there are sessions. There are sessions about service providers. There is a session about Link Online Dedicated, hybrid deep dive. So you can go deeper. So the objective was not, this was a 200 level session, was not to go deep in any of those topologies, but to give you an overview of the whole, all the possibilities. And with that, we are a little bit over the hour. We have some time for Q&A. So any questions that you have? If you don't have any questions, fill up the evaluation, and thank you very much for your time and your patience. Thank you.